Thank you for the wonderful music. It's amazing. Let's imagine that you are going on vacation in summer to the Jerusalem of the first century. You have heard about King Herod and have been told how beautiful the temple is. Because of the common violence that happens in Jerusalem, people have recommended that you not visit that city. They have told you that its narrow streets are full of people, mainly thieves, vendors, beggars, and many Roman soldiers. Many Roman soldiers. But you decide to go anyway. As you approach the city, you find one of the most grotesque shows you've ever seen. Bodies of people hanging from timbers. Shock! You look away and look down because you don't want to see it. You have been told that it is the way in which those who break the law are treated. Somehow, in less than 10 minutes, you've normalized it. You think it is the right thing to do. That is fine. That it's okay. Then you go to the temple and you present your offerings and sacrifices. And you feel that your sins have been forgiven. Upon leaving the city, you will see the hanging bodies again, and it is very uncomfortable to see them. Yet somehow you get used to it again. And after all, what really matters is that your sins have been forgiven and you feel good about it. And that happens every Sunday in America's church. For those of us who have been living a consistent situation of fear, the trauma caused by the implanted terror is like a senseless anguish that cannot be understood. In situations of collective repression, people suffer from anxiety and panic attacks. It affects people's overall wellness. People are hypersensitive and tend to overreact. I remember one person telling me her story about while waiting for her documents in America. She was basically going every week to the hospital, and the doctors didn't know what she had because she was suffering from pains in her stomach, and she didn't know about it. Hospitals fill up and mental illnesses intensify. Undoubtedly, the Jerusalem of the first century fulfilled all the requirements of a city wired with the explosive mixture of religion and terror. On the one hand, it represented the most important center of the Jewish religious pilgrimage, and in the other, a place of terror, where the crucified ones welcomed the visitors as a propaganda banner to all, sending a direct message to travelers and its inhabitants. You don't mess with the power of Rome. And this is the scenario where the gospel locates Christ and his disciples, a place where it was easier to doubt than to believe, a place that it was easier to hate than to love. Because that is how the systems of repression and terrorism work. Terror is implanted over subjugated communities, Individuals and groups are brutally punished, and this punishment is publicly displayed in a way that deters all thoughts of resistance. No one can dare think of resisting. We have to understand that the policies of terror, hatred, segregation, and racism are empowered from high levels. They find useful fools who believe in and execute these policies and plans. 2017 has already earned a bitter honor. It was the most deadly year for mass killings in the U.S. in more than a decade. And according to the FBI, the sale of weapons in 2017 skyrocketed to unthinkable figures. For some reason, in the United States, it is believed that the way to stop the indiscriminate use of weapons is to buy more weapons. Interesting logic. That is why Jesus' word, "Do not be afraid, little flock," have nothing to do with the Hallmark card. It is not a phrase for a full of meaningless romanticism. On the contrary, these words are told by Jesus to a community that is full of fear, that is suffering, and that is needing hope. From a privileged zone, anyone might tell Jesus, "Jesus, do not exaggerate. This is not so bad at all. These are security procedures. These privileged ones may have good intentions." But Jesus is not afraid to speak the truth and warns them that there is an inevitable reality. Something is robbing them the greatest treasure they have. They must realize that they are living in a society surrounded by thieves and moths, insects whose intentions are to destroy. What are the treasures that thieves and moths, insects, are stealing from this country? When we read or listen to the news, it seems like somebody is robbing our peace, the sense of decency, mutual respect, solidarity, care for others and for the planet. It is so sad that we have heard the news just this week about all the regulations taken away from things that are very important for this planet. It's so sad that many people have told me, "I don't watch the news anymore. I don't want to see the face of individual one anymore." We have been presented with an alternative reality where lying, indecency, abuse, insult, degradation, and immorality should be part of our system of values. These are being presented as normal, like the swaying bodies of the old Jerusalem. We are becoming desensitized to terror. Some American friends have explained to me that we are living in a political pendulum where every 4 or 8 years the pendulum oscillates between the conservative and the liberal. But from my experience, and very extensive experience with thieves and moths in Latin America, there's no such thing as pendulum swinging. They have made us to believe that this is normal and statistically calculated. They are trying to steal our sanity by making us act as a bipolar society where our problem is not political, but mental. The moth has eaten our common sense. The people of the evangelical fundamentalist right handed over its treasure to the powerful. It has shown us that any faith or belief that is put at the service of thieves and moths ends up turning over the most important values of faith. That is, these values become an instrument of repression and abuse. Those who used to call themselves the champions of the moral majority now hypocritically have become the immoral minority that supports the policies of thieves and moths, just as the Apostle Paul warned to the Galatian church, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly exhibited as crucified." Jesus summarizes it. "Do you want to know where your real treasure is? Go and find it where you have put your heart." Where have we put our hearts? In the amount of dollars we can earn by exploding others and destroying the planet? Is that where heart is? Is our heart in that evil idea that some should be treated different because the color of their skin or our sexual orientation of our country of origin? The gospel invites us to place our treasure and our heart in the right place. Jesus called us to place our treasure in the kingdom of God. For Jesus, the kingdom of God is here in each one of us. It's sitting there in the back bench beside you, next to you. Jesus is calling us to become loving shepherds of those who approach the most vulnerable. We are called to tell them, "Do not be afraid. We are not alone. Do not be afraid. You are not alone." Let's listen to this call today, so we can become shepherds like Christ. So we can tell the person next to us, "Don't be afraid. You're not alone." Let's try that exercise. Why you don't tell the person over there, "Don't be afraid. You're not alone." Amen.